It's them, isn't it? They'd be nuts to still be here. Who else can it be? Reacher said nothing. What do you want to do?
What would you do?
Get a warrant? Call a SWAT team? Full body armor and a battering ram?
Those days are gone.
Tell me about it.
Reacher took another step back, pointed at 4R's door.
Wait there, he said. If you hear shooting, call an ambulance. If you don't, follow me in 6 feet behind.
You're just going to knock?
No, not exactly.
He took another step back. He was 6 feet 5 inches tall and weighed about 250 pounds. His shoes were bench-made by a company called Cheney from Northampton in England. Smarter buys than Church's, which were basically the same shoes, but with a premium tag for the name. The style Reacher had chosen was called Tenterden, which was a brown semi-brogue made of heavy pebbled leather. Size 12. The soles were heavy composite items brought in from a company called Daynight. Reacher hated leather soles. They wore out too fast and stayed wet too long after rain. Daynights were better. Their heels were a 5-layer stack, 1.25 inches thick. The Cheney leather welt, the Daynight welt, 2 slabs of hard Cheney leather, and a thick Daynight cap. Each shoe on its own weighed more than 2 pounds. 4L's door had 3 keyholes, 3 locks, probably good ones, maybe a chain inside. But door hardware is only as good as the wood it is set into. The door itself was probably 100-year-old Douglas fir, same for the frame. Cheap to start with, damp and swelled all through 100 summers, dry and shrunken all through 100 winters, a little eaten out and wormy.
Stand by now, Reacher whispered.
He put his weight on his back foot and stared at the door and bounced like a high jumper going for a record. Then he launched. 1 pace, 2. He smashed his right heel into the door just above the knob, and wood splintered and dust filled the air, and the door smashed open, and he continued running without breaking stride. 2 paces put him in the center of the living room. He stopped dead there, just stood still and stared. Lauren Pauling crowded in behind him and stopped at his shoulder. Just stared. The apartment was laid out exactly as Pauling had predicted. A dilapidated kitchen dead ahead, a 12-foot living room on the left, with a worn-out sofa and a dim window onto a light well. The air was hot and still and foul. In the kitchen doorway stood a heavy-set woman in a shapeless cotton shift. She had long brown hair parted in the center of her head. In one hand she held an open can of soup, and in the other she held a wooden spoon. Her eyes and her mouth were open wide in bewilderment and surprise. She was trying to scream, but shock had punched all the air out of her lungs. In the living room, horizontal on a worn-out sofa, was a man. Not a man Reacher had ever seen before. This man was sick, prematurely old. He was savagely emaciated. He had no teeth. His skin was yellow and glittered with fever. All that was left of his hair were long wisps of gray. He had no hands. He had no feet. Pauling said,
Hobart?
There was nothing left that could surprise the man on the sofa. Not anymore. With a lot of effort, he just moved his head and said,
Special Agent Pauling, it's a pleasure to see you again.
He had a tongue, but with nothing else but gums in his mouth, his speech was mumbled and indistinct and weak and faint. But he could talk. He could talk just fine. Pauling looked at the woman and said,
D. Marie Graziano?
Yes,
the woman said. My sister,
Hobart said. Pauling turned back to him.
What the hell happened to you?
Africa. Africa happened to me.
He was wearing stiff new denims, dark blue, jeans and a shirt. The sleeves and the pant legs were rolled to clear the stumps of his wrists and his shins, which were all smeared with a clear salve of some kind. The amputations were crude and brutal. Reacher could see the end of a yellow forearm bone protruding like a broken piano key. There was no stitching of the severed flesh, no reconstruction, mostly just a thick
mass of scarring, like burns. What happened? Pauling asked again.
Long story,
Hobart said. We need to hear it, Reacher said.
Why? The FBI is here to help me now? After kicking down my sister's door?
I'm not FBI.
Me either, Pauling said. Not anymore.
Oh, so what are you now?
Private investigator. Hobart's eyes moved to Reacher's face.
And you?
The same. More or less. Freelance. I don't have a license. I used to be an MP. Nobody spoke for a minute.
I was making soup,
Di Marie Graziano said. Pauling said,
Go ahead, please. Don't let us hold you up.
Reacher stepped back through the hallway and pushed the shattered door as far shut as it would go. When he got back to the living room, Di Marie was in the kitchen with a flame under a saucepan. She was pouring the soup from the can into it, stirring the soup with the spoon as it flowed. Pauling was still staring at the broken, abbreviated man on the sofa.
What happened to you?
She asked him for the third time.
First, he eats,
Di Marie called. Chapter 38. His sister sat on the sofa next to him and cradled Hobart's head and fed him the soup slowly and carefully with a spoon. Hobart licked his lips after every mouthful and from time to time started to raise one or the other of his missing hands to wipe a dribble off his chin. He would look at first perplexed for a fleeting second, and then rueful, as if he were amazed at how long the memory of simple physical routines endured, even after they were no longer possible. Each time it happened, his sister would wait patiently for his handless wrist to return to his lap, and then she would wipe his chin with a cloth, tenderly, lovingly, as if he were her child and not her brother. The soup was thick and made from some kind of a light green vegetable, maybe lentils or celery or asparagus, and by the time the bowl was empty, the cloth was badly stained. Pauling said,
We need to talk.
About what?
About you.
Not much to talk about. What you see is what you get.
And Edward Lane, Pauling said. We need to talk about Edward Lane.
Where is he?
When was the last time you saw him?
5 years ago, in Africa.
What happened there?
I was taken alive. Not smart.
And night, too? Hobart nodded.
Night, too.